Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Daniel 2 records the dream, which announced clearly and for the first time the course of the times of the Gentiles. This dream was not given to a Jew, but to a Gentile. This is a thing to be wondered at, as it has been God's pattern that the great revelations come through the Jew. Romans 3:2 says, "Unto them were committed the oracles of God." True, it was a Jew who interpreted the dream, but why did God involve a Gentile in the process at all? Paul describes the general condition of the heathen Gentile peoples like this: aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. No matter how much it might injure our Gentile pride, we should accept the fact that God must have had a very good reason to make use of a Gentile, even a royal Gentile, in this way. For the Jew, the lesson is fairly easy to arrive at. Once before, it is recorded that God gave a dream to a Gentile king, that king being Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, during the life of Joseph. As a direct result of that dream, Joseph gained great prominence, but the events which the dream foretold brought his father and brothers to Egypt, where their descendants became slaves, lowly subjects of an ungodly nation. The giving of the message to Pharaoh instead of to Joseph served notice that the family of Israel was going to find itself in a secondary position for a time. The parallel between that occasion and the one before us should be fairly clear. God wants the Jew to know the times in which they dwell. The knowledge revealed in this dream and the prophecies which follow are greatly beneficial to all who understand them, no matter what age they live in. But for the Jew in a time soon to come, this is survival knowledge. No righteous Jew during the tribulation period will be able to go forward spiritually without an understanding of the times and events which will then beset them. Beginning in Daniel chapter 2, verse 4, the record shifts from Hebrew to Chaldean, the common language of the Babylonian court and empire. These words are written for Gentile attention. Their lesson of warning and admonition will be self-evident as we consider them. We who are of Gentile stock, according to the flesh, must understand this message if we are to stand truly and fully in faith, believing God to perform all of His will. He has something to say to us as a people. Let us pause here and consider what is important about this dream. Is it the event itself, the manner in which God spoke? In 1978, I was given a new Bible as a gift. It had a leather cover, it was given in a box, and the box was wrapped in brightly colored paper. Fine cover, sturdy box, pretty paper. They could not compare with the record of truth which they enclosed. Do not be dazzled by dreams and visions. Be gripped by the truth they reveal. Special dealings of God are indeed things to see and to wonder at. They witness His grace. Yet no dream, vision, or other miracle assures that any particular heart will seek after God. Balaam had visions and heard the word of the Lord, yet he did not accept God's word in faith. Read Jude chapter 1, verse 11, and Revelation 2, verse 14. The rich man attempting to intercede from hell on behalf of his brothers was told that if they did not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe if one were raised from the dead and witnessed to them. In Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, this was proven to be a literal truth at the resurrection of Christ Jesus. All do not have a Bible with a durable leather cover, and not all received their Bible boxed and gift-wrapped. But if yours is a good Bible, not a poor translation or a paraphrase, it has the witness of truth in it. We may never be given an experience like the one described here, but we do have Nebuchadnezzar's dream, just as surely as if it had come to us in a night vision, and we have the message it contained. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar is quoted as telling his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Daniel 2, verse 3. Here is something which sets this man apart. Having had a message from the Lord, he was troubled to know. He did not remember the dream, much less understand it, yet he was moved at heart. Many with great opportunities to hear plainly spoken truth are not stirred, as was this man who had nothing but a forgotten dream. Of course, like many others, Nebuchadnezzar was mistaken in his choice of where to go for the knowledge he craved. The wise teachers of Babylon can speak much on many topics, but they are shut out of revelations of true godliness. The course they followed to conceal their ignorance was both reasonable to the natural man and predictable to the spiritual. First it was, "Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." Daniel 2:4. Only God can create or reveal something by faith where there is nothing apparent to work with. Not having access to Him, they had to have something to get them started, a place from which to reason. Then, when threatened with death, if they did not show both the dream and its interpretation, it was, "There is not a man upon the earth who can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things." Daniel 2, verse 10. Their answer, then, ran roughly like this, "You are asking for a miracle. We cannot produce it, therefore it cannot be produced. Others do not want such things. Therefore, you should be satisfied to do without as well." Nothing was their fault. Thus do the wise of Babylon ever explain their failure to those who come to them for spiritual enlightenment. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel 2, verse 12. What Nebuchadnezzar had threatened, he now decreed. We should not fault Nebuchadnezzar too greatly for his fierce wrath against these charlatan magicians and sorcerers. We cannot say he was righteous in it, for he was not a saved man. Still, we can see his viewpoint. He had spared no expense in educating and caring for the needs of men who were supposed to be helpful when his own ordinary mental wisdom failed. He had not gotten his money's worth. Then, too, from God's point of view, a ruler is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Romans 13, verse 4. Consider the type of men who made up the bulk of those condemned by King Nebuchadnezzar. Magicians. Magicians had withstood Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. Exodus 7, 8. Astrologers. Astrology is nearly always associated in some ways with idolatry when it is mentioned in the scripture. Sorcerers. The law instructed, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch," sorcerer, "to live." Exodus 22, 18. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1, 22. No, we cannot fault Nebuchadnezzar for dealing roughly with these spiritual deceivers. Like most who have been disappointed by Babylonian religious wisdom, Nebuchadnezzar went too far. Daniel 3:13 shows that Daniel and his fellows were to be slain with all the wise men of Babylon. And why not? In education, in position, in title, and in all that seemed to count, Daniel and his fellows seemed to him very like the pretenders who knew nothing. They looked like just a few more wise men hypocrites. The king, not knowing God, did not know how to distinguish between the wisdom that is from above and that which is earthly. James 3, verses 15 through 17. For all that, he was troubled to know this heathen king was no different from any other sinner. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3, 9. He had most assuredly found that some who claimed wisdom had none, but then he made the common, self-righteous assumption that none who were called wise were of value. Daniel and his godly friends were therefore included in the decree of death. Arioch, captain of the king's guard, came to arrest Daniel, and Daniel found himself literally face to face with his executioner. Any man, Jew or Gentile, in any age whatsoever, must know how to trust in the one true God at such a time. In part, Paul told Timothy that he wrote to him, "that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God." 1 Timothy 3:15. A man's walk among those who are God's household is not the worst part of life. If men need special teaching for a sweet aspect of their walk, how much more do they need it when walking through the treacherous bog of worldly and hostile men? Only God can teach a man how to behave in the face of one who is bitter against the empty, worldly, superstitious, religious wisdom, but who knows not the other kind, this is precisely what will be faced when the man of sin is revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. He will seek to overthrow every system of religion and wisdom but his own. In his eyes, Israelites, who will then be standing for God, will seem to be no more than the other religious groups which he will despise and destroy. Then, as in Daniel's day, the only hope for the faithful Jew will be to know the truth which God has revealed, even though that truth will have been forgotten by the Gentiles who at first received it. Then, as in Daniel's day, the only help will come through prayer.